via primarily pickup from the warehouse. The Ghanaian Regional District offices come in and they pick up their books, they sign for them. In our files currently, we have waived bills for them for that particular amount. We are currently in the process of meeting with or receiving quotes from transportation companies in Ghana to finalize the distribution, which we hope to do in January. This year, October 1st, 2011 through August the 31st of 2012 is the last year of this grant, as we know it. We received $700,000 to close out the grant by finalizing three major activities, and we are working to conduct an assessment of the KG1 and 2 student workbooks to determine student achievement. We're finalizing field testing of 18 titles in primary 1, 2, and 3, and we're preparing and we're monitoring the national distribution. We've also been encouraged with the support of USA Ghana, which is the mission in Ghana, to facilitate collaborative efforts to synergize the TLMP materials, the materials that were created by us, with the Ghanaian National Program, and to advance teacher training activities and possibly to complete a baseline of those primary 1 through 3 materials prior to printing and distribution. In October the 12th through 14th, we had a conference on campus with the USAID representative. The thrust of the conference was to see how we could. There are 5 minority-serving institutions that have TLMP programs. They were all invited here, and we're trying to determine how we can best align what it is that we've accomplished with the USA education strategies as we move forward. And one of the ideas that have come out of that is to create a consortium of these 5 programs to enhance and expand the work that we do in the developing world. Publicly, I'd like to thank Dr. Watson for coming out and making a heartfelt conference opening address. As well, I'd like to extend a special thanks to Dr. Yvonne Harris, Grants and Research, and Dr. Gist, both of whom participated at a very high level, mainly to gain greater insight of the accomplishments in the new direction of USAID TLMP. Thank you.
Thanks for that update. I hadn't heard from you in a while. That's great. It's good progress so far. No questions for me.
No. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Warner. Good morning, Attorney. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. For those of you who I haven't had the pleasure to meet yet, I'm Sonia Clayton Pedersen, the interim director of Intercollegiate Athletics, and I have joining me Mr. Eugene Harris, our assistant athletic director for business affairs. We do have an action item on the agenda this morning, but first I'd like to go through my report briefly to give you an update on some of the activities in athletics over the past few months. We have several areas that are challenging that we are addressing, one of them being our relationship and with the NCAA and compliance with its mandates. I'm happy to report that we've made several strides in that area that have been recognized by the NCAA, first of which is President Watson and myself have been invited to join HBCU advisory group for academics. It's a 19-member committee, and we are 2 of those members. The first meeting is to be held in Atlanta on Monday, and the purpose of that group is to address academic performance issues that many HBCUs and minority-serving institutions face, given the state of their financial affairs and lack of resources that some of the larger schools with football programs don't face. So we're very happy that we've been included in that process, and part of that is that we've been very vocal in sharing our experiences here at Chicago and how we can improve the academic progress of our student athletes.
That's great. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Our student athletes were also invited to participate in a leadership forum sponsored by the NCAA. We sent Matthew Jordan and Truth Robertson, along with Assistant Athletic Director Robert Starks, to that forum, in which they were able to interact with their peers and gain additional insight into collegiate leadership.
Matthew Jordan, track?
Yes. He is the student athlete featured on some of our new promotional branding materials. Another area of challenge for us is generally academic affairs. We are steadily moving forward in that regard, providing additional academic support services, as well as initiatives that will help to increase eligibility and retention rates among our student athletes. In that regard, we've implemented new academic monitoring software. We've been engaging with the university community, including academic advisors across the campus, on specific needs for student athletes. And we have enhanced our registration process so that students are, their registration is checked and double-checked to make sure that they are taking courses that will lead them to graduation within 5 years of entering college. We also launched a new retention initiative in which we hosted 9 events this past semester that is intended to help students become acclimated to Chicago State and the city of Chicago at large. We have students that are out of state and international that are participating in that, and we receive very positive feedback from those events, and they will continue into the spring.
How's the, I know you made some changes to the mandatory study halls and such, has that actually affected the students positively?
We've had anecdotal evidence that has been very successful. Students have been complying. Where they haven't, they've entered the penalty structure and been required. No one has made it past the first phase of that, though, which is having to complete additional study hours if you don't make them in the preceding week. Once I can report with greater metrics on that once the grades post for this semester. But we do have anecdotal evidence that the students have been engaged in that process, that they've been participating, and that they're doing well in their courses. One metric that we have seen is that the number of academic warnings that we have for student athletes is down.
I'd like to see, as you report, I'd like for you to report on that. And I imagine if Z Scott was here, she's really going to want to see that. So,
okay.
You know, the expectation is extremely high there. So, we really want to see how that's playing out. I mean, they're students first.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a great way to go about it, but they're students first. So we want to make sure that that's certainly in place. Any feedback on that, Mr. President? You know where I stand on that.
So yeah.
I'm going to have just no margin of error, so.
And that's why it is called student athletes. And the chairman has been very strong in the fact of emphasizing the student aspect of it, the student being successful. I think our interim athletics director is being a little bit modest. She has changed the paradigm of the entire athletic program. And for our new board members, some of the things that are being stated, you might assume, okay, well, I assume that. They were not in place until she came. And so it's really a restructure of building a program. And I want to commend our interim athletic director, council, and the team that she's put together.
And it's worth knowing, I don't want to take your thunder if you want to add to this, that we've already reaffirmed. So if you would just mention that to our trustees, that's great work, so we need to put that out there in public.
We work for reaccreditation.
Recertification.
For, for recertification. And Judge Bush, Judge Bernard Bush, and counsel at that time, it was Counsel Sonia Clayton Patterson, they had a team of 20 to 30.
Probably for the core group, at any given time, we had 45 to 60 individuals across campus working on it. It was definitely a shared governance experience toward that end.
Very intense. They had to come up with a document that had to be submitted to NCAA. Our recertification depended on it. If we did not pass that, we would lose our NCAA Division I status. And they were very successful. To the point where we have pretty much established a new model for NCAA for institutions that have low resources, and they want to pretty much use Chicago State as how they help other institutions prepare for the very difficult process of recertification. And I want to commend your team. So we now have Division I status, and now we are in a position to make a decision of where we want our athletic program to go forward in terms of staying in Division I, going to Division II, or whatever. But we have much more discussion on that. But now that we have it, we can now have the option to decide where we want to go. If we had lost it, we would not have had an option.
Well, that was a victory. Let's make sure we don't have to lose next time.
Absolutely.
The process needs to stay in place, so that's never an issue. So, Attorney, if I had you move to the action item.
Sure, absolutely.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Before the board, we have a resolution for the temporary suspension of athletic funding limitation for fiscal year 2012. Currently, the board regulations state that state appropriations may be used to support the intercollegiate athletics program, but not more than 1.5% of a university's annual state appropriation may be expended for that purpose. We have done a historical analysis as well as a comparative analysis of Chicago State's athletic expenditures and compared that against 16 other institutions. 8 Illinois state institutions, as well as 8 institutions that participate in our conference. And what we found is that the institutional support for Chicago State is the lowest among all of our conference schools. It's about $1.6 million less than the average of all Illinois state institutions. And there are only 2 Illinois state universities that offer less institutional support than Chicago State. And at those institutions, the money is made up in student fees and generated revenue, such as in football programs. So what we are asking is that the board increase that spending limitation to 4% for this fiscal year, as it did in fiscal year 11 and fiscal year 10 previously.
Let me give a point of reference to Trustee Stanley. As a baseline, we've had to do this a couple times, and the fact of the matter is that 1.5% is way too low. We're discussing now whether we actually go in and change the board regulation, change the numbers, so we don't have to come back and do this on a temporary basis year after year. We haven't made a determination on that, but as for this resolution today, if we do not do this, we'll be in deficit as of the beginning of the year. I believe through the research that I've seen from Attorney Patterson that it's simply too low. But the fact is the resolution in front of us today to keep us out of deficit, I think is necessary. And I just wanted to make that point for you and the other trustees who haven't had the history on it. So if there are no questions on that, and I would entertain them certainly. If not, I would love if somebody would make a motion to pass this resolution.
Just one additional clarification. So the research relative to the other universities, is that you're using absolute numbers, but were you comparing based on a percentage? Or so for instance, you said we were 1.6 million under a certain school. Are they comparable in terms of the revenue, the number of students, the scope of the programs, or is that a percentage of something that's a standard?
Those are absolute numbers that I was referring to. They when we look at ourselves relative to other institutions, particularly in the state of Illinois, as you know, overall as an institution, we receive less state appropriations. And so in Illinois, it makes it difficult to make that comparison to our sister institutions. There are very few institutions like Chicago State in NCAA Division I, in that we are a university whose mission is focused on access. And so that necessarily changes the dynamic. I can tell you that we are in the lowest 15% of in the NCAA as far as generated revenue and institutional support, as far as grants and aid offered, and as far as our total expenses for the program, which designates us as a low-resource institution by the NCAA.
Okay.
Did you want to speak any further on that?
These are absolute numbers as reported to the NCAA annually in January as part of the NCAA revenue and expenses report. So these are absolute numbers and percentages based on that information.
Okay. Thanks.
Two questions.
Yeah, well, the second question is more, I guess, to the enrollment management folks and Mr. Morrison. Harrison, I apologize. Is there a linkage between, are we seeing a linkage between our athletics and our admissions? I mean, is that a marketing strength for us?
Indeed it is, and it's part of what we're moving into as priorities in the middle. One of the staff in my office is a cross-country and track coach, so we have a number of athletic group. So we have a close connection to the NCAA process. So.
And just to add one other point to that, a significant portion of student athletes are first-time, full-time freshmen. So we bring in approximately 25 to 30 every year.
Okay. Great. And we will, like I said, we'd love to discuss this as a board, again, see if we change the board reg to see if the numbers should be different. We have the supporting documents from athletic committee determination, but as of today, it's just a temporary, again, that'll keep us out of deficit. So, to know the questions, is there a motion to approve?
Let's move.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
And Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Thank you. I just have a couple of other items.
I was going to put you off the hook without telling us how the basketball team and the volleyball team did. So I need losses. So let me hear.
Okay. The volleyball season has concluded, and the absolute number is not what I want to focus on, but what I focus on. They had three wins this year, and that was the most wins since 2007. So we are making steady progress. We went into the conference championship ranked fifth. We were ranked above the bottom.
That was incredibly eloquent.
Thank you. But we are making definite improvements, and recruiting the talent and having the scholarships available to do that will make a huge difference.
And I'm saying we have an alumni that coaches the volleyball team, correct?
We do not. We actually have a new assistant volleyball coach.
Okay, gotcha.
On staff.
Gotcha.
As far as basketball is concerned, the women's team just secured their first win against Western Michigan, and it was an exciting game, exciting crowd there. And our men's team has not yet secured their first win, but they are at DePaul this Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Imagine that might be tough to get that first win at DePaul. We can pay for that game,
That is a guaranteed right. game, and so right. those are absolutely necessary as well for the survival of our system. We walk out with a check. And then Trustee Scott had asked me to report on the athletic director position. I am happy to report that all internal approvals have been made, and that position has posted as of today. We anticipate that it will be a national search that's, you know, advertised across the country, that we will be entertaining candidates, applications starting at the new year, and we'll spend the first quarter of next year, third quarter of our fiscal year, conducting a robust search for our next athletic director.
Sounds good. Well, listen, Doug Hughes helps the cause, so.
It does.
As among the coaches.
Will do.
Temporary increases and all, listen, Doug Hughes help. We have winners.
Absolutely.
So thanks for the update.
Sure. And in that regard, trustees, I do have some schedules that I will pass out to you at the conclusion of this meeting, and we have on December 21st our Cougar Wonderland event, which is Chicago State versus Oregon State at the JCC Arena. I would invite you all to attend.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you. We were going to punt on Ms. Dillon. I apologize, we'll get to you. And can I just have Dr. Harris and Dr. Brown, should we come up with Dr. Gist, have us run through the resolutions. I think they're all pretty straightforward. I'm clear on it. I think we should get the resolution on the table.
Okay.
It goes through. I apologize in the interest of time.
We have two resolutions to put before the board. The first resolution is requesting for the board to receive and include administrative grants that will provide a priority for personnel development. This is Professor Roundtree's grant, and we are asking that you allow Chicago State University to receive year two of a four-year grant from the U.S. Department of Education in the amount of $291,187. This is a program that seeks to address the shortage of occupational registered and licensed therapists needed for areas to provide services for children with disabilities. And we do have Dr. Roundtree here if you have questions.
I don't. This is an incredible program. Dr. Brooks, would you just kind of hit the highlights for the trustees of the program itself? If there's just a couple of bullet points. I know it well enough, but just to
occupational therapists, this is to help increase the number of occupational therapists trained to work in the school system and with early intervention for children with special needs. Since occupational therapy is a high demand profession, we have a lot of students who can easily be drawn into some of the other practice areas, so this allows us to target students who are interested in working with children and give them extra experiences and extra training so they're up and running to work in the schools as soon as they graduate. It is a service obligation grant, so that we provide them with stipends and tuition and other experiences, and then they must work in the school system anywhere in the United States in order to fulfill the needs of the grant. So we're at right now at 7 students, and our goal is 22.
It's a great program. Any questions from the trustees on this grant? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Our second resolution is put before the board to receive and administer a grant for Head Start and Early Head Start. We're asking the Chicago State University to receive the grant contract from the City of Chicago. Department of Family and Support Services for Head Start, Early Head Start, in the amounts of $536,763 for Head Start and $102,669 for Early Head Start. And we have Dr. Gist here if you have questions for this program.
Gist, if you could just give highlights. I know this well, it's one of my favorites, but for the new trustees, just to hit the highlights on the program itself.
Sure. Currently, the College of Education administers this grant. We we do not provide childcare services here on campus. We contract, subcontract with community-based service providers. We subcontract with, I believe it's about 5 childcare centers to provide services for the Head Start, early Head Start. And then we have about 2 or 3 home-based services, I'm saying 2 or 3 because some, I think one dropped down, I can't remember exactly whether it was a home-based service. But anyway, we subcontract with those particular off-campus entities in order to provide Head Start services and early Head Start services.
No questions for me. Any questions from the trustees? Is there a motion to approve this resolution?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce? Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Thanks, Dr. Harris. Thanks so much. Dr. Gates, Dr. Roundtree, thanks for the work on this. This is great work. I will entertain a couple of comments at this time. There are none, I move that we adjourn. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.